It is interesting that the last two sermons have been on the premise and idea of waiting, and the greatest illustrations that I could come up with were happening while the service was starting. Last week, the person in the sound booth was in a conversation, which was totally fine, and I stood in the front waiting for my microphone to be able to be turned on so we could start the service. My OCD, it's now 10:16 and we haven't started, was kicking in, and I was feeling it inside, but you know what? God was in charge. This morning, we have an opportunity to look again at this waiting on God and being patient, and the lighter won't work. I realize that it's silly. I realize that it's so minuscule in the grand scheme of life. But sometimes that's the way life goes, and we as followers of Jesus sometimes run into things like something not starting on time or something not working perfectly when we try to use it, and we in that moment lose our ability to focus. We lose sight of Jesus because the lighter won't work. We lose sight of the value of people because something doesn't start right when we want it to. That's a little bit of what our lives are like, and it's a little bit of what goes on in this story of the Magi. We read it already, but we're going to read it again and just listen to it and think clearly or well on what goes on in this story, because these men go through an incredible journey, and it's an incredible journey that is filled with waiting. And it's interesting when you read a passage of Scripture, particularly a passage that you already know, and you read it through the lens of just looking at it differently, how it all of a sudden just appears totally different. I have never read the story of Christmas through the lens of the people waiting. But just think about all the waiting that the Magi have to do here. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And when you really step back and look at that, there's multiple times of them waiting. One, they waited for years and years and years for the star to appear. Then they had to wait whatever amount of time it took them to get to where Jesus was. If we were to continue on in the story, it says that Herod killed all the boys in Bethlehem and in the surrounding region who were 2 years old and younger based on when the wise men had said the star appeared. This could have been a 2 year waiting journey for them to get from wherever they were to Bethlehem. And then they show up in Jerusalem to find this king because the king would be born in the most important city. And then they had to wait a half a day's journey from the town that they would end up in. They had to wait for whatever amount of time to find out where this child would be born. They're so close. but not there. And then God tells them, don't go home the easy way. I want you to go home the slow way. And the slow way, not being that it wasn't possibly a shortcut, but to quote the Hobbit, actually a Hobbit from the Lord of the Rings, shortcuts make long delays. We have no idea what this would be like for them, but they did not have a GPS to pull out and say, hey, I need to go home. And then it gives you two options. Oh, I don't want that one. I want this one. They had to trust maps that they sort of had from a country they had never been to before and go home a different route to find their way. Just imagine if you were a little bit off. They've got a 3-month journey and they're 2 degrees off. They're going to miss their home by a long way. But God called them home that way. All of this waiting to find an end to their journey. The end, not just that is Jesus, but then the end that was bringing them home. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And then we're going to find out, if we were to continue reading, that Mary and Joseph waited in Bethlehem. And God sent an angel saying, leave now. So they did, and they went to Egypt, where they waited and waited with no end in sight until God told them to go back to Israel. There is so much waiting, but not just waiting. Last week was all about waiting and the purpose that God may have in waiting. And that, just to recap quickly, we looked at the man born blind out of John chapter 9. And this man had lived years and years and years of his life blind, waiting for God to heal him, or waiting for death to come that he would see. And after years and years and years, we are told that he was healed and he was made blind so that God would be glorified in healing him. But that took years and years and years to reach. And now we see this waiting potentially having a purpose of bringing God glory. And now we've got this, what do we do when the waiting ends? So not only do we see in these wise men, these magi, a bunch of waiting, we see something else. And that is, when the time came to act, they acted. They had waited, and then when the time came to act, they didn't hesitate. So the star appears. They packed up and they left. They left Jerusalem. The star moved to where they didn't think it would be going, and they followed the star. They were in Bethlehem, and God told them to go home a different way, so they went home a different way. And when God led, they acted, which is hard for us to do sometimes. We get so used to waiting in those moments that when God acts, sometimes we put it off. And that's what we see going on. We see these wise men, these magi, with their amazing mindsets, high intellect. And then when God leads them, they follow. It's what our lives are supposed to be like. Yours and mine. Yours as an individual, mine as an individual, together us collectively. We follow when he leads. We follow immediately. We follow without hesitating. Now that doesn't mean that you always know exactly how God is leading. Sometimes things will happen where you say, is this God leading me in this direction? Or is this just circumstance? But what are you going to do? When you figure it out, the question you have to ask yourself is, what are you going to do? The question I have to ask myself, what will I do when I sense God leading? That's easy sometimes. When God leads us down the path that we would like to go down, right? When we know the path we want to walk and God says, hey, let's walk that path, we are so ready to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you to the end of the world. But But when God leads you down a path that you didn't expect, when God leads you down a path maybe you didn't want to walk, are you willing to do the same? I remember mountain biking with my dad. Mind you, mountain biking is geared for strong, athletic, thin people. And if you've met my dad, he's very strong, not as athletic as he used to be, never been little. Never. So he's on this bike. It was at Breckenridge, Colorado. And if you ever get an opportunity to try to kill yourself, Breckenridge is a great place to do it because they will allow you to take all of the hard part of mountain biking out because you can put your mountain bike or their mountain bike if you rent it on the back of the chairlift and take the chairlift to the top of the mountain. And from the top of the mountain, you can take your mountain bike down the mountain. More difficult than you might think. While we were going, the trails were not marked well. Okay? Very little signs, very big hills. When you're skiing, they have very big signs on top of the snow, which interestingly, when you're there without any snow, those signs are really high in the air. When you're skiing, they're like eye level. But when you're no snow, they're a lot higher up. It was interesting to me. But these just had little pieces of paper. And my dad and I followed. We're going to say God in this moment. But we followed these pieces of paper. And these pieces of paper led us down a path that was incredibly fun when it was over. Not fun at all while it went on. I have never been on a bike and more scared in my life. And I've biked a lot. I've wiped out a lot. I remember when I was 8, when I went to the little town that we lived near. Trimont was the name. And we went behind the grocery store. They didn't know we were behind the grocery store. And we decided to try to jump our bikes off of... My friends decided that I should try to jump my bike off of the loading ramp for the trucks coming in. Which didn't seem like that big of a deal. It had a nice ramp to it. You come to the end, you jump. It's like 4 feet in the air. It's not that big of a deal. However, when I got to the end of the ramp where it goes up, if you know anything about life, which I apparently did not, the loading ramp has a flat part at the top. That flat part makes it much harder to jump your bike off of. And I failed miserably. Still tried it again. I wasn't scared. I wiped out. It hurt. The second time the owner got unhappy, so we were done at that point. But I've done lots of things like that, and I've wiped out, and I haven't been scared. Riding down these mountains, we ended up on a Black Diamond run. I was terrified. And we couldn't even go straight down it. There wasn't a path to go straight down it. Pretty sure that's because bikes can't go that straight down. But we went back and forth on this trail, and I was petrified. But when it was done, exhilarated. And that's the path that these pieces of paper led us down. But sometimes that's the path that God leads us down. A path that is terrifying when we look down it. My dad and I even considered going back when we reached that one, but we are both too smart, prideful, to turn around. So we rode down. We could have gone back and found an easier path down the mountain, but we didn't do it. And God leads us sometimes to those places. He led the wise men to that place, down a difficult path. And if you've ever imagined what it would be like to try to cross a desert on camels, it cannot be easy. I've never truly been in a desert. The closest I've been is Colorado, which feels very desert-like in places. But to try to cross some of that expanse on camels would be very difficult. And then for God to tell you to go back a different route, you'd already figured out where all the trouble was on the route you came. And then for God to tell you to go back a different way, and for them to just say, okay, is amazing. Now, we know the story. God sent them back that way because Herod couldn't find out what they were doing and where they had been because he wanted to kill the child. But they didn't know that. We're not even told they ever knew that Herod wanted to kill the child at all. He told them, hey, when you find the king, let me know because I want you to come and worship him. And as far as they knew, that was true, at least as far as the story tells us. They may have realized that it was a lie, but it doesn't say that. They maybe never knew the reason that God said, go home a different way. But they did it. A much more difficult path, a much more difficult route. But they followed it immediately. And they went wherever he said. Mary and Joseph then had a similar instance where God told them to leave the country that they lived in. Just pick up and go. Why? Because Herod's going to kill this child. You are in danger. Leave. And so they did. I have never had an angel visit me. Don't expect that I ever will. Mary and Joseph did. And we could easily say, well, see, that's where they had an angel, and then they did what the angel said, and that's how they knew for sure, and that's why they could obey. It's really interesting, though. Peter was an apostle of Jesus, right? And he was with Jesus while Jesus was on earth, part of what it takes to be an apostle. And he saw something that we call the transfiguration. It's where Jesus went to the top of a mountain, changed more or less into his God form. And they wanted to stay right there. They saw this. They saw Jesus. They saw Elijah and Moses with him. And they were talking. And they said, this is God. And then Peter writes, when he writes his epistles, that we know God more sure. What we have is more sure than what they saw in the transfiguration. He saw what would be the most amazing thing. But the Holy Spirit inspiring scripture, he says, is more sure than what they saw. So we sometimes say, I haven't had an angel visit me. And if I did, then I would obey the way that Mary and Joseph did. Then I would obey the way the shepherds did. But Peter's point is that we don't need that because we have this. And when we have the Bible, when we have the Word of God to tell us what life is to be like, we may not know every step that we should take, but every step that we know from Scripture, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to set aside all that this world has to offer to follow him down that path? Are we willing to set aside even a little bit of what this world has to offer in order to follow him where he goes? And it's easy in this moment for us to say, why, yes, we would. So let's ask a really simple question. In your business, whatever business that is, whether as an employee or as an owner, when was the last time you chose to not come out ahead for the sake of following Jesus? That's the question that has to be asked and answered. And if you can say never, then friends, we want to say that we're willing to set all of this, what the world has to offer, aside for Jesus. But if we've never done that, even a little bit, maybe we're not as willing as we think. And that's a sobering thought when Christmas comes. It's a sobering thought when Christmas isn't coming. But that's what needs to be asked and answered, because when God has us wait, we wait for his glory, we wait for his timing, we wait for his leading, we wait for him. But when he leads, He will frequently lead us down a path that is not advantageous financially. It's not advantageous in status. It's not advantageous in the community, the broader community, not the community of our body, because hopefully wherever God would lead us, we would find advantageous within our body, because people would so quickly say, "You're following Jesus? That's amazing." But if he leads us down a path that the world around us says is crazy, ridiculous, foolish, are we willing to follow? Have you followed? Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. But friends, if you come to the point where you say, "I have not followed him in that sort of way," then you must ask yourself the question, is he of greater value than whatever that stuff is? The wise men followed Jesus across the desert, through Jerusalem, down to the crazy little place of Bethlehem. Unimportant, unseen, unnoticed, irrelevant, irrespective of all the happenings of the world. Whatever word you want to give to it, whatever demeaning sort of perspective you want to put on it, that is where it was. And when they finally arrived in the place they never intended to go, which is Bethlehem, they found the very thing they had been looking for. We don't want to stretch this too far. That's not the point. But God led them to where they didn't expect. And when they arrived at the destination they didn't expect to be at, God opened to them all that they had wanted. But what did they want? Were they wanting money? Were they wanting fame? Were they wanting influence, power, possessions? No. They wanted to worship the King. And when God leads us to a place that we didn't expect to be, that may be the very place that we find we worship him the best. And sometimes, friends, when we wait on God, that is where we don't want to be. Not just where we don't expect, but where we don't want to be. But when we are where we don't want to be, we may just find that we worship him all the more. Why? Because we see him and we understand him, because we're purposed to follow him and to know him. And that's what went on with the Magi. They arrived in Jerusalem. Jesus is somewhere between newborn and 2 years old, though likely closer to the older than the younger. They saw the child, they went into the house, and they bowed down to worship him. And that is amazing. So these rich guys show up at a poor person's home to worship the King. That's what our lives should be like. Our lives should be like the worship of the King. Our lives should be like, I'm willing to go wherever it takes, do whatever needs to be done, follow down whatever path, risk anything or everything, because that's where he's leading. That's been my prayer for this body. That's been my prayer for me for quite some time. Well, I may never know how that actually plays out. You may never know how that actually plays out. But my prayer and the elders' prayer for this body of people has been that we would follow Christ exclusively. Exclusively meaning that we don't follow after any of the things that this world has to offer, but exclusively also meaning that we would follow not in part, but with every bit of us, excluding nothing, excluding no part of our heart, no part of our mind, no part of our energy, no part of our money, no part of our talents, no part of our time, excluding nothing, that we would follow him completely. Sometimes God calls us to give up an hour of our time to help somebody else. Sometimes God calls us to give up a little bit of what we've got to help somebody else. But let's hearken back to these magi who gave up months of their time, months of their energy, months of risking death and danger because they wanted to follow and worship the king who they'd never met and never seen. We have got to be willing to give up some of ourselves as well. Does that mean God's going to call you to give up everything you have? Probably not. Does that mean that God's going to call you to give up all of your time? Probably not. Husbands, particularly, does that mean that God's going to call you to go away from your family to help other people all the time? Probably, definitely not. But some of the time, when it's inconvenient, on that day you didn't expect to have something else go on that day when you planned to do all this stuff, maybe God in that moment will call you to do something you didn't expect and to walk a path you maybe didn't want to walk or hadn't intended on walking. That path may end up being health issues. That path may be financial issues. That path may be just where are you leading me now, Lord, type of issues. That path may be pain. That path may be hard. But that path that he leads you down, regardless of how hard it is, regardless of how much you didn't expect it, if it's the path he's leading you down, it will glorify him, which is, friends, what our lives are for. The Magi showed up and they did not present gifts to Jesus. Did you know that? They worshiped Jesus. And through worshiping Jesus, they offered gifts to Jesus. But they did not show up to give gifts to the king. They showed up to worship the king. And for them, they gave gifts. But in that moment where he leads us, wherever it is, our purpose must be to follow him, to worship him. And when we do that, he brings joy to our hearts and our souls. He brings joy to the people around us. And that joy is the showing of Jesus. That joy is the worship of the Son of God, because he is worth it. So again, I don't know what kind of path God is leading you down in this moment. Okay, for some of you, I know. For some of you, I know some of the paths that God is leading you down in this moment. For some of you, the other people around you know some of the paths God's leading you down in this moment. The question is, are you willing to follow him because you want to worship him? Are you going to fight him? Are you going to not follow him? Are you going to follow him with sort of a half-hearted, I guess if I have to, this is the only thing I can do? Or, like that first option, are you going to follow him to worship him? Set everything else aside. It may be easy, it may be hard. You don't know what tomorrow's step is going to bring in, whatever path it is he has you on. Are you willing to follow him and worship him and honor him and glorify him irrespective of that path? And then you may just find that that hardest path, that unexpected journey, that undesired destination might be the thing that he uses to glorify himself the most, which is the most important thing we could do. Okay, I will keep praying for us in that way. May we all continue to pray for each other in that way. Because God will, He has, and He will continue to lead us down paths we did not expect, toward destinations we didn't even want to go to. And we may find that that is the best path and the best destination that we could ever get to. And even if it's not, that it's a destination and a path that glorifies Him, which makes it the path and the destination we really should want. Let's pray. God, we come to You this morning knowing that You teach us and lead us and guide us in ways that we didn't expect, wouldn't expect, couldn't expect. And Lord, we ask that You would be glorified in us as we follow You, that You would be honored in our hearts as we seek to know You. God, give us the patience that it takes to wait when You call us to wait, and give us the strength that it takes to move and act when You call us to move and act. May the path, Lord, that we are called to, may it be a path that we walk without hesitation to bring You honor and glory, to show our devotion and our love, and to do it because You are our God. We love You. Amen.